Company manners. It's Dr. Herb Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the topic of company manners. Yes. What sort of manners do we have when company comes? Do we act a little more gentle with one another? Do we act a little more harmonious with one another? Do we act a little more loving with one another? That isn't necessarily so. What are our company manners? Well, company manners are naturally similar in every family. Company manners are sort of harmonious in every group of people, because company manners say one thing. They say that we delight in the people who come to visit us, and we show them our best selves. The statement has been made, what would you do if God were going to come visit you at your home? And you first say, well, I sure clean up the place and dust it, and I would make sure everything was in order, make sure I had the cakes and the tea and the various other things ready that I was going to serve, and I'd make sure that the children were all spick and span, and Daddy had a clean shirt on, and everybody was, you know, in good order. And if God came to visit in your house, and God were some external being, what would you do? What would you do? I don't want you to tell me, but think about it. What would you do? What would you do if a man called God, with all of the attributes that we attribute to God, were to come and visit you at your home and take you just as you are? What would you do? Well, now, what would you do if the priest came to your house, or the minister, or the rabbi? Would you say to your children, now clean everything up, make everything look nice? The same thing you do for God? Yeah, you would. Now, what would you do if you had a new puppy coming to your house? If you had a new puppy coming to your house and you really wanted the puppy and loved the puppy, you would make the house puppy-proof, wouldn't you? You'd put everything up, and you'd have newspapers, and you'd have a little place for him to be where he could know that that's where his house is, and where he knows that that's where he's, you know, going to be okay no matter what he does. And he doesn't really concern himself with what he does, because he just does what comes naturally. Okay. What would you do if the teacher of your child came to visit at your home, and she called from the neighborhood store because you wanted to get directions to your house, and you told her, so you had 5 minutes? What would you do? What sort of preparation would, what sort of company manners would you express to the teacher? Well, I would think if the teacher is a worthwhile teacher, and you respect the teacher, and if your child is a worthwhile child and you respect your child, I would say have the child and the teacher there together. Oh, but the teacher might want to talk to you about things that they might not want to express to the child. Are there ever any things that the teacher should say that the child shouldn't hear? If the teacher said, now, your child's not doing too well in this, but she's doing well in that, and so forth, should the child not know that? Now, if the teacher did come and you had your child there, and you would say to the teacher, very good. Now, what can my child do to improve in these areas that you think that she can improve? And so the teacher would say, well, I'd rather talk to you about this alone. No, this is my child's responsibility, my child's life. They have to know what it is that they need to improve. Now, you think I can mollycoddle them into improving by doing things to make them do it, but We don't do that in this family. In this family, our children are just as important as the adults, because this is a house. This is a house in which we all live, in which you all have responsibilities. And our children know about the work that my husband does during the day. Our children know about the things that I do around the house during the day. My children know about how our life is formed. Hard to have a conversation nowadays on a tape like this, because women work and women do not want to be considered a housekeeper. Women do not want to be considered a mother. Women do not want to be considered as a person who has responsibilities for the home, even if they haven't got a husband. They want to be considered as a working person who has respect in their domain. Well, to me, the greatest respect that any mother could ever have is to be a mother. And I say mother who has a child is to be a mother. And the greatest respect or the greatest responsibility that any father could have is to be a father. And what kind of the greatest respect that a child could have is to be a child. Now, you say, well, the child shouldn't know about the problems we have financially. Well, yes, the child should know. Not that they're problems, but they're scopes in which you're working. They're areas in which you're working. Now, we have $50 to spend this week. You say, that's not very much. But we have $50 to spend this week. Now, the food costs us $20. The rent costs us $25. And so that means there's $5 left to pay for the utilities, to pay for our clothing if we need to buy anything or anything like that, or to do anything. And the utilities cost $4.95. That means there's a nickel left. Now, what do you think a child would think if he were included in that awareness? Do you think he would worry that they don't have any money? Or if the mother and father make that condition, that's just what we're working with, no big deal. We'll see our way through. We'll have better times soon. You know, things will come along better for us. We're doing fine. That message of confidence and love and faith and trust that the child knows. Now, you say, well, the child shouldn't know these things because that's too heavy a burden to put on them at a young age. Well, if you put it on them as a burden, yes, then it is. But is it a burden? Is it a burden for the parents? If it's a burden for the parents better get out of the business of being a parent. They better pull that zipper up, you know. Because that's stupid to have more children if you can't afford to take care of what you got. Now, affording to take care of what you got does not mean how much money you have. You understand? It means your attitude about the money you do have. Your attitude about the life that you do have. There are many families that have many children, and there is so much love and so much delight in each other's presence and in each other's company, and not necessarily a lot of extras, but there's a family of real love. Now, personally, I would call a family of real love a family of company manners. Because this is our reality. It's not just for company that we put that on. We put it on for each other. We love each other. We respect each other. We care about each other. Our company manners are our everyday manners. Because we don't take more food from the plate than is available if there's only so much food. Now, a dog doesn't think a thing about jumping into somebody else's food bowl and eating, because a dog says, available food, available food. But a human being is a little different. We teach the human being, we have so much food to go around. And that's what we're going to share. Now you say, oh, I'm glad I don't have to live in a family of limitation like that. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Each of us have lived in families with limitation like that. Each of us have lived in families where there was not enough to eat. My family never had the consciousness that there was not enough to eat because we always shared. We always shared. And when company came over, we equally shared. We put more water in the soup. But it was perfect. There was always enough. And of the whole neighborhood, we always had enough because we always shared. We always shared. Most of the homes where the children didn't have enough, there was only one or two children in the home. And they had never learned to share. They have never learned to have their company manners be their everyday manners. So, what are your company manners? What would you do if you were preparing to have God come and visit you? Do you think that God, as we understand God, is going to look at your house and see it through your eyes? Or will God look at your house and see it through God's eyes? How does God look at your house? Does God look at your house as a home of love, of sharing, of caring, of everyday manners being the company manners? How does the infinite look at anything? How do you, who are presumed to be infinite, how do you look at a home? You walk into your sister's home or your brother's home or your friend's home, and you see the home in great disarray. They didn't expect you to come. How do you look at them? What do you think about them? What do you think about these people? What do you think that they're doing? Do you think that they're poor housekeepers? Do you think that they're whatever you might think? Well, whatever you think, that's who you are. Fine. Whatever you think, that's who you are. Do you think that there's love in that home? If there's love in that home, that's what we should be seeing. Is there tenderness in that home, caringness for each other? That's what we should be seeing. Is there a delight in one another's life and livingness? That's what we should be seeing. Do the children pull the chair out for their mother when she sits down? What an antique idea, huh? Do the young boys take turns at pulling the chair out for their father when he sits down? Do they make sure that the table is perfectly set for everyone, for the family, much less company? Do they do those things? When you see those things done, then you know that that's a house filled with great respect for one another, just where they are. The reason that homes and families are not one's real family is that they're built on me first. Me first in outer actions. In inner actions, it should be me first. You have good thoughts, good ideas, good feelings and so forth, and good words, good deeds, and then you go out and do them. Now, think about a family that really loves each other, okay? They're always fighting. They're always fighting to see who can be first in being loving. Who can be first in taking Daddy's chair out and putting it in? It's not a matter that Daddy needs the chair taken out or put in. It's a matter of the respect that the child learns in doing the act. You understand? It's not a matter that the little girls say, "Mommy, sit down now. We'll serve the food." And Mommy says, "But I'm doing it. I'm happy." "Mama, shut up and sit down and let them serve it." They want to show you respect. Let them do it. Now, none of you have been a mother that has ever taken your daughter to the kitchen sink and let her wash the dishes. None of you, not even Ellen, who has a daughter. Ellen never took her daughter to the kitchen sink and let her wash the dishes because Ellen had someone else to do it. Or she had a dishwasher, or this or that. When a child a baby girl and a little girl, is taken to the kitchen sink to help wash dishes. She feels 10 feet tall. She feels she is helping her mommy. And she is probably making 7 times the work for her mother than if her mother just did it herself. But the mother is teaching the child respect. The mother is teaching the child company manners as everyday manners. How can you stand to let your children do these jobs that they do so poorly that you could do in 2 seconds and have it done? That's what being a mother is. That's what being a father is. That's what company manners are. Company manners are giving the family time to be the family. If the mother goes out and serves the tea and cookies to the guests, the children never have an opportunity. They always feel like they're waited on. But when the children can go out and serve the tea and the cookies to the guests, to the mother and the guests and the friends, they feel a very special part of the family. Company manners that children exhibit are a perfect example of what the children feel is their relationship in the family and what the parents feel is their relationship in the family. So, what is it that you're going to do? How is it that you're going to handle your relationship? How are you going to handle your family? And how are you going to handle the things that you are doing? You have to make up your mind as to where you stand on this wonderful journey, how you're going to live in your company manners, and how you're going to let your company manners be your everyday manners. And as you let your company manners be your everyday manners, you find that life is really exciting. Life is really worth living. And we all are very content and very happy in that. So, think about that. Think about that. You've got the perfect answer. You got the perfect answer in your life as to how to live a harmonious, beautiful, enjoyable life. So, what with the announcement of my dog that there is company coming, we will say, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you. And have a wonderful day.
I love you. Thank you.